The NCAA College Hockey Tournament is underway at this hour. And to get some insight into that, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by our friend Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. And my goodness, we're already rolling here. Almost the end of the second period. And Notre Dame, and am I right on this? They're the only conference champion that has a number one seed?
They are, yeah. Because St. Cloud, yep, they are. St. Cloud lost to Denver. Cornell lost in the semifinals to Princeton. And then Notre Dame beat Ohio State. Who am I missing there? I'm missing one more.
You'd ask me, wouldn't you? I don't know. Cornell. No, we said Cornell.
Sorry, no, so Cornell lost. St. Cloud lost. Notre Dame won. And who am I missing? There's got to be one more missing.
It must be another Western school.
It'll come to me at some point.
Yeah. Well, Notre Dame's got a lead in this one, 2-1 over Michigan Tech, and no surprise there, I guess.
No. I mean, I think that these fours versus ones tend to be pretty close. I mean, I know it looks like it's potentially a big upset if a four beats a one, and maybe a little more so in this tournament just because of the fact that we had a lot of automatic qualifiers. BU was an automatic qualifier, and Michigan Tech was an automatic qualifier. Usually, in some years, it's just the Atlantic Hockey schools. But in this case, I think that in most cases anyway, the fours and the ones are fairly close. I mean, you could have a four and a one, and the pairwise, it's like a 4 and a 12 overall. But it's not really, it's 4 and 12 overall, you know. So in perspective, if you were to, relative to the NCAA basketball tournament, it might be a 3 seed versus a 6 seed or something like that. So it's a little bit different with the hockey tournament, just where there's so few teams that, you know, a 4 beating a 1 isn't always a big upset. I think, though, there's a little more separation in those seeds this year because of the number of automatic qualifiers that we had.
Well, when we look at this Notre Dame team, my goodness, they are awfully tough. And if you can ride a hot goalie, you got a chance to make a pretty deep run, and they've got one of the best going.
They do, yeah. Kale Morris is up over 940. There's a couple of goaltenders in this tournament that are up over 940. Mac DeLaja for Cornell is another one. He's only a freshman. His save percentage is up over 940. So, but Morris, they needed somebody to come in and fill that role. Cal Peterson signed at the end of last year. And there was a big question about what they were going to do in net. You know, Notre Dame was in the Frozen Four last year, and a lot of people thought that they could get back there. They were my pick before Anders Bjork and Cal Peterson signed. They were my pick to win a national championship this year. And then Bjork signs with the Bruins and Peterson signs, and you think, well, you know, those are two big pieces. How are they going to replace those? They'll still be a good team, but how are they going to replace those two pieces? And Jeff Jackson found a way to replace Cal Peterson with a goalie who's played even better than Kale Morris. And their scoring has been pretty spread out. I mean, I wouldn't say that anybody has replaced Anders Bjork. It's hard to do that. We're talking about a guy who was a potential Hobie Baker winner last year. Maybe would have won the Hobie Baker this year had he stuck around. But they've spread out their scoring more. They're more diverse. I think they're deeper up front. And yeah, I mean, they're one of the favorites. I mean, even when I made my picks for the tournament, without those guys, I did my bracket earlier in the week. I have Notre Dame winning the national championship. I think they're that good.
What's St. Cloud State, the number one seed, and they're in a little bit of a battle in their opening game.
Yeah, you know, Air Force, every year, I mean, they play teams tight. It doesn't seem to matter who they're up against. They're always a tough out, and they've been the champions of Atlantic hockey a number of times now. So there's still some time to go. That St. Cloud team is just stacked. I think they've only lost 6 games this year or 7 games this year. And the thing, too, when you look at them, I mean, they're going to be right back here next year. They could lose some guys, but I was looking at this earlier in the week. I mean, they're mostly juniors and sophomores. Their goaltender's a freshman. This is a St. Cloud team that if they don't win a national title this year, I think they're going to be the favorite to win it going into next season because they just return almost everyone on the team that, for the most part, was wire to wire running through the NCHC this entire season.
We're talking with Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. Tonight at 6:30, Providence takes on Clarkson. This should be a very good matchup. Providence disappointed in the Hockey East Championship and how that wrapped up. And this Clarkson team boasting an awfully strong line of freshmen.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this matchup. So Clarkson has played Providence twice this year and has beaten them twice. But those games were also earlier in the year, and I think Providence is a different team than they were in November, and certainly Clarkson is as well. But Clarkson was on a run there for a while. They hit the middle of January I think they went winless in 8 or 9 games, and it dropped them from a potential 1 seed down to a 3 seed. They had kind of gone back and forth and where they were going to be. At one point, it looked like they were on the bubble, maybe even missing the entire tournament. But they put it together at the end of the year. Their last month of the season was really good, and they've come back and they play really well. They're a solid team, you know, kind of like what we talked about with St. Cloud. They're young. You mentioned they're freshmen that have played really well, so they should be a team that contends in the ECAC next year and beyond, even nationally as well. So, but this is just a matchup that really intrigued me, because even though those games were earlier, I think you could look at them and say, okay, there's a tough matchup there for whatever reason. You know, Providence has a tough time matching up against Clarkson. Clarkson won both of those games earlier in the season. And we'll see if Providence has learned something from those two games and they're able to figure it out. We'll also see, you know, is Providence just on another level right now above where they were back in November? And now maybe the matchup that was a tough matchup in November and January, now that we're in the end of March, just isn't, because Providence is playing so much better.
7:30 game tonight features Minnesota Duluth up against Minnesota State. Is there much to choose from between those two teams?
This is another fascinating matchup. All Minnesota schools in Sioux Falls, pretty close to home for a lot of these guys. Minnesota State, one of the top teams in the country. You look at their record, and I forget exactly what it was, but again, single-digit losses. They almost ran the table in the WCHA. They lost in the quarterfinals to Michigan Tech. But this is a Minnesota State team that has just kind of run through the WCHA this year. And remember, though, this is not the WCHA of 10 years ago. You know, a lot of those Big Ten schools left. Realignment happened. The NCHC formed. So the WCHA, for the last several years, has only kind of been a step ahead of Atlantic Hockey in terms of interconference competitiveness. You know, they don't put many teams in the NCAA tournament. Their non-conference record as a league compared to the rest of the country is usually lower. So it's going to be interesting to see this Minnesota State team, and it's kind of been the same story with them for the last couple of years. How good are they? You know, are they just the best team in a small pond? How are they going to match up against some of these bigger national teams? But, you know what, you look at Minnesota State's non-conference schedule, they played the top Minnesota schools. They played St. Cloud. They played Minnesota. I mean, they test themselves from a non-conference standpoint. So I don't think there's much of a question. I think some people have questioned how they're going to match up against a big team like Minnesota Duluth in the NCHC. I don't really question it, because you look at their non-conference schedule and they've played a lot of these bigger schools, especially locally, the big Minnesota schools in non-conference games. So I think they're battle-tested. I think they're ready. But it's going to be just another interesting matchup, especially with the two Minnesota schools matching up against each other in Sioux Falls. Should make for a pretty good atmosphere, even though North Dakota is not in the tournament. And I'm sure a lot of those people bought their tickets thinking that North Dakota was going to be there.
Couple of interesting matchups in Worcester. Let's talk first about No. 2 Michigan against No. 3 Northeastern. How do you see that one going?
I found Worcester to be the toughest regional to pick. I think either of these games could go either way. I went back and forth a number of different times. I've got Northeastern winning this game and coming out of the regional and going to the Frozen Four. I think it's going to be tough, though. This is a really good Michigan team that Mel Pearson has kind of turned around in just his first season on campus there. But the biggest difference for me is just Northeastern's top line. I mean, they've got a line right now with Nolan Stevens, Dylan Sakura, and Adam Gaudet that the three of them could play on some NHL teams and fare all right for themselves. One of the most explosive lines in college hockey, probably the most explosive line in college hockey, although Michigan has a pretty good line themselves with Cooper Marody and a couple of guys that have also combined for over 100 points. But I think the difference here is just going to be the power play. Michigan is really struggling with the penalty kill. They're about 75% on the season, and Northeastern's power play is cooking at almost 30% because of those skill guys they have up front. So if Michigan can stay out of the box and not give Northeastern too many opportunities in the power play, I think they'll keep it close. But if the game gets out of hand, if Michigan takes 4 or 5 penalties and gives Northeastern 8 to 10 minutes on the power play, watch out. I think the Huskies could run away, and it could be a two or three goal deficit that Michigan finds themselves in if they put Northeastern on the power play too much.
And Micah, you talked about those 1-4 matchups, and you think maybe the best matchup overall is the 1-4 in Worcester with Cornell and a Boston University team that you think could maybe go all the way.
Yeah, this is a different BU team from the start of the year. We talk about Providence and how they're different now than they were in November. Well, BU, I mean, like they had a poor start. It was poor enough that they needed to win Hockey East to get into the tournament. But they're 13-2-3 in their last 18 games. That's more than half a season. So if you sort of extrapolate that over a 34-game regular season, they were on pace for something like a 26-4-4 record. If you extrapolate the way they've played in the second half of the year, they've been that good. And this is a Cornell team, so this is what makes this a fascinating matchup. You've got a really good defensive team in Cornell, and you got Matt Galagic, who, like I said, has a .940 save percentage. They're barely allowing a goal per game. Cornell's played in 32 games this year. I think they've allowed 49 goals. So they've barely allowed more than a goal per game, and they're playing a BU team that has so much firepower. You know, Shane Bowers is a first-round pick. Brady Tkachuk is going to be a top-10 pick this summer. They've got so much offensive talent, explosive talent, on that BU team, matched up against a really good defensive team in Cornell. This is just a really fascinating matchup. I think that this is the 1-4 game that has the most potential for the 4 seed to win, even though I was saying, you know, a lot of these games are typically a lot closer than you would think when you see a 1 versus a 4. But this is the one where I think the 4 seed not only has the best chance of winning, I think the 4 seed does win here, just because BU's playing so well right now. I've got BU playing Northeastern in that regional final on Sunday, and Northeastern coming out of it and going to the Frozen Four.
Well, boom, there you go. Well, the breakdown from Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. This is like your Christmas this weekend. It's awesome.
Yeah, this weekend's a fun weekend, and then next weekend we get a little bit of rest, and then it's off to St. Paul after that for the Frozen Four. So I'm glad we still get the week off in between, because having a weekend like this and then leaving on Tuesday to go to the Frozen Four, I think it'd be a little much.
So, yeah, no question.
The bye week next week, I'm looking forward to.
Well, Mike, we always appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and expertise. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll catch you again around Frozen Four time.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Mike McMahon of College Hockey News talking with us on Downtown.